A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some, perhaps, you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
Hi there, I'm Emily Forstner, your host today. Once a month, I go to the Valley Community Recycling Center, and an older gentleman there helps me unload my cans and other unnecessary plastics. And I'm not the only one. You may not believe it, but in the city of Palmer, there's an equally charming man who picks up your garbage, visits with you, and helps you out. And what's interesting about these two men behind the scenes of trash, they are treasures in our community. And that's why today, we're talking trash.
Good morning. Are you guys going to school today?
No.
Why? No way, you guys get the whole day off.
My name is David Sutton, and I am the solid waste operator for the City of Palmer Public Works Department, a.k.a. the trash man.
The trash man.
The garbage man. refuse guy. My nickname on the other side of town around MEA in the industrial park is Dumpster Dave.
Dave came into the studio and shared what it was like to be the city's lone garbage man since 2007. Afterward, he invited me to go on a ride-along, and you'll hear some of that in the background, too. And I'm telling you, if you've never ridden in a garbage truck, you're missing out.
Yeah, the ladies in accounting used to hear me banging the dumpsters in the backyard, and they'd say, oh, Dumpster Dave is here.
Did you have to have any special skills when you applied?
You have to have a commercial driver's license. Because you're driving a very large truck, it's very heavy, so you have to have a special license to drive the truck. They require you to have at least a CDLB license, just because of the weight of the truck.
Are you the only operator?
I am the only full-time operator for trash, yes. Before that, we had to have as many as three or four people, because you had a driver and you had to have two or three people picking up those 30-gallon galvanized trash cans and dumping them in the back. We, as a city, decided to get new equipment and be more modern. And with that conversion, one guy could operate it.
That was the selling point to the city. One guy could do it all.
I applied for the job, and they told me, you're going to be the only guy. And I took the challenge, and I've been doing it for 18 years.
Dave operates three different solid waste trucks.
Tuesday and Thursday, I pick up the residential, which is the garbage cans. We have a special equipment for that, which has an arm. It reaches out and grabs the 96-gallon carts, wheeled carts.
The second one is a larger garbage truck that handles the commercial dumpsters.
They are interchangeable. If one breaks down, I can convert the other truck to do that operation. The third garbage truck is a 1995 Ford. It's got a Packmore compactor on it, and it's the old dump the cans in the back. We use that for special operations when we need to clean up lumber and construction debris. It's our go-to for special stuff.
Do you have names for the three trucks?
The old 95 rear loader is called the Crusher, and that's just a nickname I've given it. Then I don't have these nicknames out in public. I don't know if anybody picks up on it, but the residential truck is Tipper.
Tipper.
Yeah.
Because it tips.
Uh-huh. And then the commercial truck is Smash, because it smashes. Sometimes it smashes the lids, which is very upsetting, because then I have to fix those.
The residential truck, or tipper, is really unique. It has a mechanical arm with two yellow pinchers that move away from the truck, grab the garbage can, bring it back, lifts it up, and then tips your trash into the hopper.
So I see everything that comes out of the garbage can.
Ooh, they were cleaning out something.
You kind of need to be aware of things that shouldn't go in, and we have to catch batteries, waste oil, things that might damage your collection vehicle. We do have people who get into the dumpster and they fall asleep.
Oh.
And I have picked people up in the air and had to set them back down and let them out. Typically that'll happen over near Bishop's Attic. They'll get into the dumpster. They'll either pry the lid open or whatever. And yeah, they'll get in and spend the night there. It's shelter.
Yeah.
So I have to be careful. I do have a camera, so I can see what's going into the truck, and I hope if they don't wake up, I can see them in the camera.
You know, when you first got the job and now you're in it, what surprised you?
Initially, it surprised me, our residents. It did say in the job description that you would interact with the public. I didn't know I would interact so much. A lot of people will come out and visit with you, or they have questions, or they want to know why you missed their trash last week, or they want to know if there's something they can throw away, or if they need to recycle it, or what is allowed, what isn't allowed. And then there's the children.
Well, tell me about the kids.
Well, I have a little bit of a following, I would say. There are households where the kids line up in the living room and look out the window and wave. You kind of feel like there are eyes upon you when you're looking at your equipment and you're working, so I'll look, and there they are in the window waving. Summertime, they'll actually come out in the yard. I give a little show occasionally. I extend my claw out and I make it clap, or I make it wave. And so when they catch on to this, then they'll prompt me to do the clap or the wave.
Okay, we're clapping. Okay, we're waving. Bye.
When I operate the commercial truck and I'm picking up the commercial dumpsters, occasionally I'll have a vehicle follow me around town. And when I stop to pick up the dumpster, they stop and the window comes down. There's usually a child in a child seat who will sit and watch and will wave.
You need someone to make Dumpster Dave stickers.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can,
wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, you can have your own fan club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know people.
You know people?
Yeah, I'll get on that.
To get Dumpster Dave stickers. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be great.
Don't kid yourself. Your trash has a story to tell. 18 years of picking up the community's trash. What has Dave learned about us?
People like routine. If you're normally at their house between 9 and 10 o'clock and you don't show up between 9 or 10 o'clock, they will call City Hall and they want to know, where's Dave? That brings up another thing. I do have some favorites, and they're usually the ladies who are shut in at their homes, and they can't always get their garbage can out or can't get it back. So I keep an eye on them, and I try to help out in that case.
Bye.
See you later.
We had gotten out of the truck to check in on one of his favorites, a Centurion.
You go in there every day?
I go in every Tuesday.
Yeah.
I have these connections with people on my route, and I just can't help myself.
He has to be careful with his time, though, because he can't slow the route down too much.
The dump closes at a certain time, so if you're not in there unloading your truck and out by the time they close the gate, you might have to stay the night. But I do like to visit, and I do visit quite a bit on the residential days.
That's hilarious. Would you call City Hall? Would you call the garbage man to see if my neighbor's okay?
Why am I involved in all this?
Your trash is tied in with your utilities, so water and sewer. As you are collecting trash, you have to run a compactor, which compacts the trash. And I can put about 60,000 pounds of force on that load. And it's important because you want to be able to collect it all and make one trip to the landfill. What's amazing, this might surprise you, but this town eats a lot of pizza.
Have you noticed which pizza company gets the most boxes?
No, I can't say that I have.
Because you could be the one that, you know, the best pizza in the valley. You could declare it by the trash.
Yes, I also could probably advise a few households on their dietary needs, but we won't go there. I've noticed that with our home deliveries of...
Like Amazon?
Amazon and FedEx, a lot of cardboard. A lot of cardboard boxes are thrown away. When I started in 2007, we were in the A cell, and we were very high up, above tree line.
Dave's referring to the Mat-Su Central landfill on 49th Street. It has 620 acres. 200 acres are currently divided into cells and used for waste disposal.
And then we moved over to the B cell, and we're filling that up almost to the top, and we'll have to go to C and D.
Let's have some fun with numbers. 112,000 people in the Mat-Su borough as of 2020. That's 5 years ago. Now imagine at least half of them having a trash can. 56,000 trash cans. And 4.5 pounds of trash per day per person. That means the Mat-Su Central landfill can see 281 tons of waste per day. We're talking a lot of trash.
There's a bulldozer that pushes it flat and compacts it, and they dump gravel on top of it and compact it, so it's getting buried. So why are we burying cardboard and aluminum and plastics?
The push to recycle, has that changed your job?
It has lessened some of the residential trash, and it's wonderful that people will take the initiative to recycle a lot of materials. It cuts down on the amount of tonnage that we're hauling to the dump.
Come on, Dave. Any trashy stories?
I'll tell you two stories. The first one was I had picked up a dumpster at senior housing over by the senior center.
There's... What he didn't know was an unsuspecting husband had accidentally tossed his wife's shopping bag with a pair of brand new pants and shirt into the trash that morning. Oops.
And she called City Hall and said, I need those pants. They're brand new. I wonder if we can get them back. I told him, I'm sorry. They're gone. But something told me, well, let's go to the dump and try. So I stopped collecting when I got the call. And I went to the dump. I said, I've got to dump this load out and away from the normal pile. And we're going to see if we can find these brand new pants. They're in a bag. She described them. And so we slowly dumped the load out on the face, and we found the pants and the shirts in the bag, and there was nothing on them. I couldn't believe it.
She couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Her husband couldn't believe it.
Well, I don't know. He was hiding when I stopped at the apartment and dropped him off. The other story I'll tell is Mrs. Hubbard, and she liked to come out and talk to me. The day that I was picking up, it was very cold, 10 below. She came out the front door to talk to me, and both feet went out from under her, and she went up in the air and landed on her back, and she wasn't moving.
Luckily, he'd had some EMT training in the past. Dave jumped out of the truck to help and called an ambulance.
Was able to get her inside where it was warm, and they were able to show up and help. You just never know when you jump in the truck and start your day what you're going to run into.
It's your handle when you get out.
Okay.
Back out.
You like your job?
I love my job. I didn't think I would. I thought maybe I would do this for a few years and then move on. I'm treated very well by my employer. I'm treated very well by my community. So it's fun to live here and fun to be able to work in your hometown.
Okay, put it away for Mom. See you later.
One word, just one word I ask to describe your work as Dumpster Dave.
Service. Service. My job is service. I'm serving the community.
Have a great day.
We've been talking trash with Dave Sutton, the City of Palmer's solid waste operator on Voices of the Mat-Su, produced for Big Cabbage Radio on Palmer, Alaska. Coming up next, we meet up with Mark West at the VCRS, Valley Community Recycling Solution Center, where trash becomes treasure.
Sit it down. Just sit there. All right, I'm going to take this over here.
Okay.
One lady comes in with her daughter who just turned 13, so she can get out and help, and oh, she was so jazzed, it was a big deal to her. Well, same thing, she's doing the hoppity-skippity thing, right? And I said, please, please, you cannot run in here or skip or any of that, because I said, you will slip and you will fall and crack your coconut. Well, now I'm Mr. Coconut. Going to go to the recycle center and see Mr. Coconut.
If you've ever been to the VCRS on Jean-Lute Circle, you recognize Mr. Coconut as the older man with a long gray beard, a ball cap, sunglasses, a bright yellow safety vest, and an even brighter smile.
And then I've got another lady with a bunch of kids, like four or five of them, and they all call me Mr. Mustache. So my beard to them is just a big mustache.
His real name is Mark West. He was born in San Diego and worked his way up the coast until he found his forever home in Alaska. I meet up with Mark one day in the lunchroom of the VCRS.
Jumped on a ferry and here I am. I ain't going back. If you gave me a free condominium or the car.
Hello, how are you?
Turbo and everything.
Well, I started here 4 years this July, and I was on the MAST program, Mature Alaskan Seeking Seniors Seeking Training, M-A-S-S-T, MAST program. And the lady that was running it, I knew her through the senior center where I used to work before 2020 came. And she said, oh, I got a program. We can take you out here and see what you if you can fit in. And so I came out here and fit right in. You had to be at least 55. He had to have been out of work for over a year. And so I qualified all the qualifications. Because, you know, COVID put a pretty big dent in all kind of stuff. So when I got the opportunity to do something, you know, and I was a paid volunteer here. You know, they didn't have to pay me, but the state paid me. And I did such a good job after a year. I got a certificate of, you know, appreciation and all this fun stuff. And then they sat me down and said, hey, we want to hire you. We'll give you a raise and everything. And I'm like, oh, really? So I started in the drive-thru and I kind of grew on me, you know.
All right.
Do not lose your phone.
I will not lose my phone.
Okay. Then you won't get a start.
VCRS depends on volunteers, and when you drive into the recycling center, you may see some working directly under Mark's supervision and watchful eye.
Yep. Did you ever think you'd be a mentor like that?
No, I never did, because I was pretty much, especially working in Avocado Grove all by myself with a dog, you know, and I never thought that I'd be in such public relations type thing.
It makes a difference for Mark.
Well, to me personally, quite a bit, because I've been the only one up there running that thing. And so it's a definite two-person job, and I need help, especially I'm not as young as some of these volunteers come in, you know.
It makes a difference for them, too.
Now, since they know how to recycle so well, they take all of their parents' stuff and all that, and they come back. Say, hey, Mark, how's it going? I recycled today. I'm like, great, great. And we had one that was a young high schooler, and they actually hired him. He's on the spectrum, but he's very detail-orientated. And first time I met him, he asked me 150 questions. And I was getting a little overwhelmed with it. And finally, I met his mom, and she said, once you get all the questions answered, he won't ask them again. He's got it. So, yeah, some of them come here, and they definitely come back. You bet.
It's a great teacher.
I would say we average about 150 to 160 cars a day.
That's about a recycle drop every 3 minutes. Mark averages walking over 7.5 miles a day between them all.
And Saturdays typically are 250 car days.
That's a lot to take care of.
Yeah, we try. We try our best. And I've had a lot of comments from people saying that they want in Anchorage. It's just a dump and it's just nasty. And you guys got it all straightened up. And I said, we try to keep it that way. And we do our best.
He knows his trash. Whoops, Mark doesn't like it when you call your recycle trash. He knows his treasures very well. But did it come naturally for him to consider one man's trash as another man's treasure?
It kind of did, because, see, I've been I'm an artist as well, and I can draw, I can sculpt, I can do all kinds of stuff. And since I've been here, I've been making all these very cool spinners out of aluminum cans. First time I had just a demonstration, went out there spinning on the box. And this little lady says, what's it going to take to get one of those in my garden, you know? I said, really, you want to buy one of these? She goes, can I buy all of them? I'm like, sure. And, boy, just people got to have them. It's amazing. But I've gotten it down to a fine science now, and I make little sculptures, hanging ones, and ones on a coat hanger. And I found that using these cans for artwork, they're not all created equal. So some are good, some are not.
What's a good can? What's a bad can?
The best can, or more uniform, is Coca-Cola. They make the best dang cans of going. And any of those seltzer water cans, they are about as worthless as, well, they're so thin. They make them so thin because they're just going to be popped open and drank real quick and then crush them and throw them away. So you want to use them for something else, it's definitely not the one, the choice. Coca-Cola cans are tough.
Thank you. So I heard you also make knives.
Well, I don't make knives, but I modify knives. Take knives that are either beat up and my brother is really into it, so I mail them to him, and he acid etches the blades and does all kinds of very interesting things to them. So I'm just we're both knife hobbyists, actually. I think the biggest thing I've learned now being up there this long is educating and helping people understand how to make it more convenient when they get here. So if I can educate people on how to bring it sorted, and it just boom, 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 they're in and out. And that's the funny thing is people are so impatient when they come here. They just got to get it out of the car, get it, and go. They're just, I got to go. Sometimes I feel like I'm the director at the pit stop area in the Daytona 500 because people want to zig and zag, and I got to get out of here. That is the big issue with coming here, because people have the dump mentality. When they go to the dump, they dump everything. They don't have to take anything back. But what I've been trying to educate everybody on is for us to take the number one, it must be in the form of a bottle of some kind. And the bottles have a dimple on the bottom and a screw top. But just try to show them, that there are things we cannot recycle. We cannot recycle everything, like batteries and stuff. People ask me all the time, and I just refer them to the hazardous waste at the landfill. So by talking to people all the time and helping them understand what we're doing here and they think we're part of the landfill, but we're not. You know, this is a private enterprise, and the landfill is its own entity over there.
Hi, how are you?
And I actually can tell them they're Gold Star recyclers. That's something I came up with, and people seem to be really latching on to that. And if they bring everything sorted and it's perfect and they get no rejects, I'll give them a Gold Star sticker and put it on one of their tubs. Yeah, I had the ladies print me up some stickers.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yes, well, it's kind of like an under-the-table thing, but the word's getting out. And people say, well, I want a gold sticker. I'm like, what do I have to do? And so I help them learn and understand. If you come here and you don't get any rejects and everything is clean and you put it in the right places, you get a gold sticker. See, it kind of started with a mom and a daughter, the daughter was helping put it all together. And I told her, you get a gold star. And she said, well, do we have a sticker? And I'm like, well, no, but let me look into that.
Well, I want one.
All right, not a problem. When they come here and they have things that we cannot recycle, like styrofoam, our number one no can take, and they get upset when I give it back to them, especially some of the older, single guys. They start grumbling and want to just throw it in the damn landfill.
Well, they won't be getting a sticker.
All right, let's see what we got here. This looks like, here, take this.
I know I need the egg carton goes up there.
So, people are definitely on a trend of more recycle, less trash.
One family told him that by recycling, they reduced their garbage by 75%.
Yeah, especially when that one family told me, they said the cost alone was amazing because that was 4 cans a month. Now they're down to 1 little can a month. That's quite the change. I've had several people tell me that they're not buying certain products because they come in. Arizona iced tea is a classic example. It says 5 on one side of it, but on the other side, it says 7 other, which makes it not, we can't take it. But people love Arizona iced tea. And so now I've had people tell me, I'm not buying that anymore because I can't recycle the container.
Let's have some more fun with numbers. VCRS shipped out a total of 1,983 tons of materials to market last year. Of that, 1,338 tons of cardboard. or equal to 22,752 trees. That's a lot of Amazon boxes.
This is an industrial complex, so safety is a big concern here for us.
The Valley Community Recycling Center is like no other. Instead of a typical center outside in the weather with labeled dumpsters, the VCRS is tucked inside an industrial building. You drive through great big garage doors, you're helped, you unload, and you drive out the other side. It's a gem.
And what I want people to understand when they come through the drive-thru, especially because there's vehicles involved as well, the floor is very slippery. I tell people all the time, there's no running in here. If they climb up into the bed of the truck, I tell them, it's not the jumping in I'm worried about. It's the falling out that I'm worried about, okay? Because I don't want to see cracked coconuts and wiping up blood and an incident report and the whole nine yards, you know? Yeah. So that is probably my most important thing to let people know. When they come here, please be patient enough to not get hurt.
So I had to ask him, any special safety stories?
The guy was up in the truck, and he was a big boy, probably pushing 300 pounds. And I realized he had his foot caught in there, and he dusted himself off and said, all right, we're done here. And I'm just about to say, but wait. And he yanks forward, and that thing pulled his leg, and he's already going forward. So now he's diving out the back of the truck. So I knew I couldn't catch him, so I kind of helped him hit the floor as easy as I could. And I said, is your head okay? And he goes, oh, I just had shoulder surgery. I ain't worried about my head. I said, well, diving out of your truck is not a good idea. Well, the one that scared me one of the most and the lady had to grab was a Doberman. And I didn't know it was in the car. And she must have been 4 foot nothing. And I went to help her and I reached in there and that dog leaped over the seat, man, with them teeth going like that. And I was like, whoa, okay. I said, why don't you just hand that to me? And then we was in the front seat snarling. And I went, wow. That was close.
Pretty cool. Well, the one guy, he was pretty good with the word amazing because you asked him one word. Yeah. I was like, man, you got it.
Well, right. One word. Always one word.
That's right. One word, Mark. Just one word to sum up your work at the Valley Community Recycling Solutions Center.
One word.
It can be two.
Community service. Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like I'm giving a lot to the people that come here. And they appreciate me helping them and showing them. They say, you make it so much easier. And I said, well, that's the whole idea. If it's easier, you'll do it. If it's hard, you won't.
You have gold star status now.
I love it.
All right. Thank you very much.
I really wanted that gold star.
We have more in common than we do differences. We all throw away trash. And some even recycle those Amazon boxes. But in the Mat-Su, unlike anywhere else, we have Dumpster Dave and Mark West to help us smile and keep us safe. And that's not trash talk.
Cool. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's a treasure. And that's it for today's episode of Voices in the Mat-Su. Just a little trash talking. If you have a story or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit more. Special thanks to the Big Cabbage Editorial Board, sound editor Emma Keachley, and Dave Sutton for that ride-along. Thanks for listening. Stay good out there, Mat-Su.
This was Voices of the Mat-Su, sharing stories told by those who live in the Mat-Su borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Mat-Su Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Mat-Su do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Mat-Su Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.